Good Monday and welcome to App Hack Monday. Today we're going to be talking building games with Unity, but before I speak with Joe and Lee, here is this week's App Gallery. And remember, if you want your app to be featured, all you have to do is tell me the name of your app with the hashtag App Hack Monday. Roll the gallery. I'm joined here by Joe Robbins from Unity and Lee Stott from Microsoft. And I've asked them to come on because I wanted to talk about games and building games. And when you start talking about game development, it's not really very long before someone mentions Unity. And frankly, I have no idea about it. So I asked Lee, who's our like go-to games guy in the UK. And he said Joe was the man to ask. So Joe, what is Unity?
So Unity is set of tools for game development, effectively. It started out as a small company making a game, and then they quickly realized that they were much better at making the tools to make games than they were at making the games themselves. And it was a few years ago now, and things have rolled and evolved quite significantly since then. Yeah, effectively it's tools for making 3D and 2D games.
So I'm a C-sharp developer by trade. What languages am I going to need to learn or am I going to need to be familiar with to build Unity games?
As a C-sharp developer, you won't need to learn any more languages in theory. So Unity supports Unity Script, which is effectively a variant of JavaScript in a way. Then there's C-sharp, and there's also a language that nobody really knows called Boo as well. But it's also Boo. But yeah, so C Sharp, JavaScript, and Boo are supported languages in Unity.
Now, imagine I have absolutely no experience of developing games, which is 100% true. Why should I pick Unity as the starting point for my game?
I mean, well, one of the main focal points with Unity, we have this kind of that tagline is it's all about democratizing game development. That's kind of what our whole philosophy is about. So, in terms of ease of use and learning curve, our main focus has been, you know, lowering the barrier of entry across the board, really. So, even without that experience, you should be able to get up and running pretty easily. Obviously, it'll require a bit of learning and a bit of investigating, but it's definitely a good choice in that regard because of the fact that it's very open and friendly We have a great community that can help you if you ever run into problems. Everyone's super nice.
So, Lee, you go to tons of hackathons and porting events, and actually I think you're at one right now. Are there lots of people using Unity?
Yeah. So Unity is probably one of the lowest entry points for any developer. You know, it's very much a visual programming language, so you use more visual concepts than actual coding. So it's very easy to get into. As Joe was saying, the common languages are C-sharp, Boo. So Boo is actually based on Python, so lots of kids are now learning Python. So it's a very natural progression onto Unity, and it is very, very popular. You can actually port to around 20 platforms with one button click. So you just simply select which platform you want to produce your app to, and within Unity it handles all the build process.
So I work generally in Visual Studio. What's the workflow for someone like me? What tools am I going to need to go and get started in something like Unity?
Theoretically, you could pretty much download Unity and you'd be off. There's a lot of different tools available. By default, Unity comes with MonoDeveloper. But as I said, if you're using Visual Studio, there are plenty of tools you can use to hook into that. There's a tool called Unity VS, which is a great option for people who are familiar with Visual Studio. It allows you to do all kinds of debugging things with Unity. But out of the box, that's pretty much all you need. The one thing, I guess, to note is that in terms of creating assets for your game, you know, things like 2D textures and 3D models and audio and that kind of thing, that's going to have to come from somewhere else. So whether or not you have a copy of Photoshop or even a copy of Microsoft Paint or, you know, or whatever really, for creating those assets.
Paint, I love the idea of using paint to create artwork.
Honestly, people do, honestly.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a thing called Jim Will Paint It?
I haven't, no.
So this guy takes random requests from people and then he paints those requests in MS Paint. So anyone can send something in, he'll just paint it. So he drew Susan Boyle dressed as Ripley from Aliens wearing a big yellow robotic machine trying to open a pack of hobnobs. And there was Coronation Street Fighter 2. I think you probably need to be British to get like the cult references. But it's amazing what someone can do with just something as simple as paint.
To be fair, for pixel art, you really don't need much more. If you know, get down to the bottom of it, like before I discovered Unity many years ago, one of the ways I used to pass my time while working at the Royal Mail was I was used to do data entry as a temp after I graduated, and I used to design pixel art in Microsoft Paint at Royal Mail. They should probably, I don't know, like, I won't get in any trouble about that, will I? It was a really menial task of typing in numbers into a spreadsheet that, you know, I could probably have automated and it'd have been a lot more efficient. But it was a fun little project, and at the same time, you know, been able to work on a few little designs. I made some really cool pixel art back then, which I found amazing.
I guess building an app is pretty different from building a game. So what kind of things do you wish that someone had told you before you started building games in Unity?
Yes, I guess one of the key things really is to keep things simple, at least to start with. Although I do actually believe that I think people told me this when I was starting to make games, but I ignored their advice initially. Only to realise that it was very sound advice. Yeah, keeping things simple, keeping things manageable. You're not going to make, you know, the next AAA game. You've probably got some incredible game ideas. Everyone has great game ideas. The key really is building up to be able to create those games, and also finishing those games as well. Finishing a game is much harder than starting a game. Starting a game is a little bit harder than coming up with the idea, but really the, you know, 90% of game development is the hard part. It's the hammering your head against the wall at a bug that you can't squash, and then, you know, doing the same thing day in, day out. It can be pretty tough, but at the same time, it's definitely rewarding, you know.
I mean, everyone I speak to, even with app development, and not just games, says, you know, the same thing. It's so important to get the discipline to finish projects that you start. It's easy to get an idea. It's pretty hard to develop it. And it's really tough to finish it. I remember Sebli Dalal saying at a conference once that to stand out, all you really need to do is finish your projects, because 90% of people never finish their projects. They just by finishing your project, almost, you're in the top 10%.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the other key thing about games as well is actually mock them out before you do it. So draw a nice little storyboard, understand where your game's going, and most importantly, from an app perspective, is understand how you're going to monetize that game. You know, is it going to be based on ads? Is it going to be based on, you know, a chargeable product? Is it going to be based on in-app purchase? And make sure you understand that before you start, because it's so difficult to replicate that into a game. It's at least ensure what you know your strategy is going to be.
Yeah, I guess another point as well is I'd highly recommend game jams for people. I think, like, for me at least, it was a fundamental turning point in terms of, you know, collaborating with other people, you know, understanding that can actually be very, very effective way to, you know, generate creativity. Yeah, I'm a huge advocate for game jams in all their evolving forms, and I, you know, I do a lot of work at Unity supporting game jams in various forms, and yeah, the game jams are the best.
Yeah, I think it's proving a concept of the game, because you can at least bounce the idea off with other people. You've got 24 to 48 hours to build a nice little prototype, and you get feedback. That's the great thing about any game jam, because you might not have a working, you know, you'll have a working concept, but the people who are attending those game jams are really genuine, nice people who just want to play games, and will give you any feedback. They'll tell you it's rubbish,
yeah,
and they'll tell you it's a great idea. If it's a great idea, continue and get it done.
You have to explain the vernacular here. So what exactly is a game jam?
It's hard to nail down exactly what constitutes a game jam these days, because they're constantly evolving as a concept. But at least the initial starting point for game jam concept originated in the Nordics with the Copenhagen game jam, the Nordic game jam that they set up out there. And the basic concept is that you have a limited amount of time, normally. Traditionally, that's like around 48 hours. And you get together with a bunch of people and you create a game in that really short period of time.
I noticed very quickly that you have this whole amazing little marketplace, and that they have kind of things that you can just buy and assets that you can buy, almost complete projects which you can take and then use and customize. Is that a good place to get started for someone which is brand new to Unity development?
Definitely, yeah. The Unity Asset Store was launched a few years ago back now, and it's just grown and grown and grown. And it's a really great thing in two ways, really, because A, it helps people that aren't necessarily skilled in all areas of game development. You know, ultimately, there is some level of specialization that you go down at some point. So maybe a programmer with not much art experience, you can pick up some art from the assets and use that. Maybe if you're an artist with not so much programming experience, you can go the other way. And then ultimately, there's no reason why you can't then go on and produce assets that you then sell on the asset store as well. It's kind of a very,
self-populating industry, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've got those devs who are just starting to think about building games. You've got to know how to do something. You can just download an asset and add that directly into the game to allow them to build something. And then you've got those now game developers who want to use games to sell their assets. So they're actually building assets and using a game to market the assets that are available to other developers to purchase the assets to enhance their game. So it's a great initiative, and it's been, you know, most of the guys today are all using some form of asset. I don't think anybody built the code from the ground up themselves. So it just allows developers to be really agile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Joe and Lee, for joining me and talking about Unity. So that's it for another week of App Hack Monday. If you have any questions or comments, please use the hashtag App Hack Monday. Come back next week where we will be talking about universal applications using C#. Happy hacking.